Well, I'm tempted to ask everybody just to come sit in the middle, but everybody's got like their comfort zone. Don't ask me to move, Pastor. I'm very comfortable right here. But we got a lot of people out on vacation and all of that kind of stuff, and some people working. We got to pray for Karen, who works on Sundays a lot, and Melina, who's having to work on Sundays a lot. Others also, but we pray that situation turns around where they can be in church more often. And Jose, was Jose here today? I thought I saw him. He's also having to work on Sundays a lot, and a lot of people. So that's something to pray about, right? So church, put that on your prayer list for those that are having to work on Sunday, that the Lord will do something to help that situation. Praise the Lord. We've been talking about perfectly flawed. This is part three. You know you're flawed, right? You know you have imperfections, and you know you have sin in your life, because we know in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, the Bible is very clear that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So there is no question that all of us have sinned, and none of us are perfect. So it's good to get that out of the way, right? Just to set know that in your heart. You're not perfect. You got things in your heart that need to be revealed and need to be exposed so that you can become what God wants you to be. So we know this, and we know that we're all flawed. But the good news is that that people who surrender to God in the name of Jesus, your flaws do not define you. Isn't that awesome? Your flaws, and that's kind of what this whole series has been about. Your flaws cannot define you. Your flaws cannot be a barrier to answering the call that God has for you. God has a plan for you. And it's a perfect plan. It's a powerful plan. It impacts other people. Plan. So if you're wondering, how do I impact other people for God? His plan is that. Somehow, some way, whatever your past is, whatever your mistakes have been, somehow, some way, when you're in His perfect plan, it doesn't matter. All those flaws, it doesn't matter. There's a good, perfect plan that comes out of it if you're following Him. But the danger is that you can miss it. You can miss turning those flaws into something beautiful if we don't pay attention. Right? You ever seen that video where you're watching it and they're moving a ball around and a gorilla walks through? And if you're not paying attention, you don't even notice the gorilla walking right in the middle of center. And it's amazing because I've seen the video. And the first time I saw it, I did not see the gorilla. But then they do it in slow motion and you see a gorilla going right in the middle and I didn't see it. You can miss it. And that's how it is with your Christian life. If you don't, there's a lot of things that if we don't pay attention, if we don't become intentional, and it all begins, and you've heard this over and over from this pulpit, it all begins with that secret place. We talked about it last week. It all begins with you being intentional that you're going to spend time with God. You're not going to miss church because you're tired or late. You're going to be there, not because church saves you, but because in church, you're in His presence. In church, you have an opportunity to hear something that will come and be planted in here, and it'll change you, right? Not because the pastor is awesome or the ministers or anything like that. It's just about putting yourself in a position to grow. Putting yourself in a position to learn more, to have wisdom, to have knowledge, to have understanding. Putting yourself in those positions. And if you begin to do that, you will see that gorilla walking in the middle of the circle. And you'll begin to see that your flaws can be perfected, and you there can be a perfect story in your life. So don't ever lose hope or get distracted. Before I move on, just a reminder, and I've said this every week for a while, write a thought down. Write something down today that you can go and pray about in your secret place. Write something down today that you can pray about in your secret place. That's how you grow. That's how you grow. In Romans 12, chapter 3, let's read it. Romans 12, chapter 3. Oh, sorry. Romans, yeah, 12, chapter 12, verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think of him soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Yeah, this is a very humbling scripture for those people in ministry that are just, things are happening and God's moving and they need to read this scripture over and over, right? Because sometimes when things are happening, we like to take credit that we know what we're doing. And one of the things I like to tell my leaders, I really don't know what I'm doing. It's true. I really don't. It just kind of, okay, go, God, you open the door, we walk through it, and hope for the best. But yet there is intentional preparation, right, and work and practice and all of that. But at the end of the day, we're at the mercy of God's plan. We're just His soldiers, right? Soldiers don't get to choose what battle to go to next, right? Someone else tells them that. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to. Be real about your weaknesses, your imperfections, and your flaws. When you look at yourself honestly, then you can see that gorilla dancing in the middle. When you look at yourself honestly, the next step is allowing God to change your imperfect heart, your flawed, sinful nature, and there is a beautiful story, a perfect story in your life. So the first step is you got to know. You got to know you have flaws. You got to know that you need God to perfect you. You got to know that you need the Holy Spirit to empower you to overcome your flaws. And last week I had said, remember these two main points, and I want to repeat them again today. If you haven't written anything down, here's your opportunity to write something down. Number one, your flaws. You are flawed, but your flaws are not barriers to fulfilling God's plan for your life. There is nothing that you've done that is so bad that it can get in the way or be a barrier to God's perfect plan for your life. As a matter of fact, all that ugly stuff, He will use it to accomplish the perfect plan in your life. You got that? Because that's so critical that you don't beat yourself saying, I'll never be like that person, or I'll never be as spiritual as that person, or I'll never have it together like that person, the way they serve the Lord. Those are all lies from Satan. Because your past and your flaws have nothing to do with stopping you or being a barrier to God answering the call for your life. You got to get that down in your spirit, because some of us have used our past or our imperfections to allow us to just say, yeah, I'm just supposed to sit in church and help every once in a while, and that's enough, you know, that's enough. Oh no, please don't stop there. You won't enjoy the full joy of living for God in a powerful way. I don't want you to ever be satisfied with ordinary. Don't be satisfied with just, oh, I'm going to just make it through. So that's one thought. The second one, your flaws will become part of God's perfect story if you surrender your life to God. That's so true. That's so true. So true. It's about the Holy Spirit empowering you and filling you with His character. And it all turns around. It all turns around. And here's some other good news. Having flaws is not unique to you. For example, you see all these names up here? Bible characters? Abraham had a big flaw in answering God's plan for his life, because he was supposed to have a child, but there was a big flaw. He was old. So old, he couldn't bear children according to the world. But that flaw was overcome by the power of God. And not only was that flaw overcome, but that flaw is now part of the perfect story of Abraham. Right? Because what is it that we read about in this story? How God miraculously got Sarah to have a child. And God's perfect plan came to be, right? Where He's a nation, the nation of Israel. So here's the good news. You got Abraham. You have Elijah. He was suicidal. You have Joseph. He was abused, right? That's considered a flaw by man. Job, he lost everything. Moses had a speech problem. Gideon was afraid. Samson was a womanizer. We talked about that last week. He had some major, major flaws, but still became part of God's perfect story. Rahab was a prostitute. Remember Rahab who helped the Israelites? She became part of God's perfect story with flaws and all. The Samaritan woman was divorced, but she became part of God's perfect story in the New Testament. And Noah was a drunk. You can read scriptures where Noah was a little tipsy. Right? And Jeremiah, but of course Noah still became part of God's perfect story, didn't he? Jeremiah was young. Jacob was a cheater. Cheater. David was a murderer. And Jonah ran from God. But did David become part of God's perfect story? Yes. Did Jonah? Yes. Did Jacob, the cheater? Yes. Did Naomi? She was a widow. That was considered a flaw in those times, because they had nothing to support them. And she still became part of God's perfect story. As disadvantaged as she was, God still made a way, because she was a woman of God. Trusted God. Peter, we know that. He denied Christ 3 times. Peter was flawed. And Peter became part of God's perfect story. Martha, she just worried about everything. Some of you have that flaw, right? You just worry about everything. Right? So what do all these names mean? It this kind of solidifies the fact that flaws are irrelevant to God's perfect plan for your life. Amen? Are you catching it? Are you seeing this? Here's what God sees is you accomplishing, impacting here, and what you see is like down here. And what I'm trying to get through in this series is that we don't have to be satisfied with here because we have flaws or we're not perfect. No, we're still here. It's still there. The deal is still on. The promise still stands. You know, all those words and phrases. Do not be satisfied with ordinary. God is a good God. He loves you. You get the picture. You're not alone. Look at all these Bible characters. You're not alone. And there's many, many more, by the way. We don't have time to go through them all. You get the picture. This is why we cannot allow the enemy to stop us from growing into perfection. We cannot allow the enemy to convince us we are limited. You are not limited because of your faults and your flaws and even sin, because we serve a God of redemption. We serve a God of forgiveness, of mercy, of grace. There is no limit. There is no barrier. You can be perfectly flawed. You can have a perfect story. You can have God leading you into a perfect destiny that He has for you. Do you see it? Can you see yourself inside God's perfect plan impacting other people for His kingdom? Can you see that? Because I really believe that's what God's preparing us for. God's preparing us. And some of you are in this place today, and we don't have our normal crowd because, like I said, there's people out, but God's preparing us to impact this community in a powerful, powerful, impactful way. They're there. The harvest is clear. It's clear. How many churches are in position to send one text and have 100 kids show up and just bless them? or 30 parents, or God has put us in a position. Remember that sermon a few weeks back? If you're in a position to make it happen, make it happen. And we God's preparing us for something. There's going to be a moment where the impact is going to be huge that people are going to notice outside these walls. Because I really believe God put this little church here in the middle of Donner, like right in the middle, right? Like we're probably like in the middle. Like if you go city limit to city limit, we're probably like, and then Donner's like the heart in the middle of the valley. You know, you're just like right in the center of the four counties, right? The heart, they say, right? The heart of the valley. And I'm preaching these sermons because I want you to start to see there's something bigger. Something bigger. But there's some pieces still missing. There are some pieces. The harvest. You know how Jesus said, I see a harvest and it's bountiful. And Jesus is weeping because it's ready. It is there. And what did Jesus say? We need laborers, right? Here's what I see in my heart. I see people that there's still pieces missing. Like we got to go out and impact other people. And there's still ministry within the church that still pieces missing. And they need to be filled. And they won't get filled when we don't see the gorilla, right? They won't get filled if we're not seeing what is going on. And here's the gist of it all, I guess that's the best way I can say it. In order for some of us to begin to fill these pieces of that still missing in this plan God has for us to impact this area, to see people come to Jesus, the pieces that are still missing, in order for that to happen, you have to have surgery. Amen? You got to allow God to come in and start scraping these flaws in your heart. Ouch. But it's so worth it. You know, when you have that successful surgery and then you feel better after 6-8 weeks and it's all the stitches are gone and it was worth it. Right? Don't be afraid to go to surgery with God. Don't be afraid to let Him dig in there. Don't be afraid. There's a few pieces missing. And I don't know if it's going to take a month or 6 months or a year or 5 years or 10 years. But I know this. The harvest is there. There are people that need to hear the name of Jesus. We need people that are ready to just spread the word and to be of service, right? To help with the cooking, to help with this, to help teachings, to help whatever it may be. God's going to put something together. And your flaws are irrelevant. They're irrelevant. Your imperfections. If you surrender to God, you let Him do that surgery in your heart, they're irrelevant. There is no limit. There is no barrier. You can be perfectly flawed. You can fulfill the perfect plan for your life. The truth is you will not be satisfied until you are in God's perfect will. You know, there are Christians still looking to be satisfied, still looking to get satisfied, and they're not because they're not willing to have surgery. They're not willing to allow God to have surgery in their heart and take out those flaws so that He can show them the perfect plan. The truth is, we're not ever going to be satisfied until we're in His perfect will. You will look for satisfaction in all the wrong places. But you were created to not be satisfied until you are in God's perfect plan. You know that you were created not to be satisfied until you are in His perfect plan. It's true. It's so true. You know, let me just kind of walk through. There's people who come to church and they experience God and they know God and they want more of God in their life. But they don't allow God to start digging into some of those faults. Some of those sins, some of those flaws. And they get satisfaction a little bit from going to church and being in His presence because they do love God down deep in their heart. But they don't. But since they don't totally surrender to God doing surgery on them, they're looking for satisfaction in other places. And those are the people that eventually drop off from church. They just begin to drop off because they're not getting satisfaction in church. And the way you don't get satisfaction in church is if you close up. If you say, God, I don't want you to dig down that deep to all my faults, all my flaws. So what I'm saying, church, we are perfect. We are flawed, but there is a perfect plan, and those flaws don't stop you from accomplishing them unless you close yourself up to not letting God go in there and work. I had a whole other story in Scripture, but I'm out of time, so I think we've got the message, church. There's big things coming. There's pieces to be filled. And you are part of that. You are part of that. And there's ministry. There's breakthroughs. There's deliverances. People need friendships and prayer. And we need each other. And we need each other. And we need to pray and believe. And on Tuesday nights, this Tuesday, we'll go back to our one-hour prayer, just praying for God to intervene in our prayer requests and our lives. We pray for revival. We pray for the outreaches. We pray. We just go back and pray for an hour straight. Perfectly flawed. I was going to read Exodus 32:1, but we're not going to go into that story. We're going to go into communion and let's bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, you know what you're doing. You're not confused. There are people in this church that you are tugging at their heart. They're going to be part of a missing piece to impact other people. But before we get there, Lord, there's surgery that needs to be done. So, Lord, I just pray today that the scales will be lifted from our eyes. I pray today that the scales will be lifted from our eyes and the burdens of life and the stress of life will grow strangely dim, knowing that as long as we're in your perfect plan, everything else will work itself out. Give us peace that passes understanding. We are committed to filling in the piece, the missing pieces, to answering the perfect plan. So, Lord, just seal that in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.